So one other thing, and I just will add this, as you go through the day today, 3 o'clock, the Residential Center Christmas party begins, and this will be a chance for those that are currently living at the Residential Center to spend a little time with their kids and other family members. 20 families, 41 children, and they've all been adopted. All the gifts and things are covered. Aaron Mader's the volunteer director for the center, and she sent out an email in a panic Monday last week and said that the guy who usually plays Santa Claus had something happen and there was some family emergency, and so couldn't be out there. So did anybody know a Santa Claus? And I immediately thought of Paul, but realized that everybody would have to stay about 6 feet away from him, and he would say, text me your gift. So I figured that wouldn't quite work. And so you guys, there's this guy named Elliot Hoffman. And Elliot is, hang on. There's a guy named Elliot Hoffman, and Elliot does the improv for the College of Trades. And he sent back an email to Aaron and said, my dad loves to do that. So, sure enough, Elliot's dad is coming out to play Santa Claus for... But it's, I think one of the things that's been fun is... This is a guy who is distant from the church, but yet gets what we're doing. And he continues to try and find ways to support and see things supported. So Elliot's dad is coming out. He's excited. He's going to get to play Santa Claus. There were a couple volunteers who emailed back, how much do you pay? And Aaron this year did not have a budget for paying that. And next year we may have the regular Santa back, or next year Elliot's dad may come back. But it's just exciting to see things fall into place.
Can I add a really funny footnote?
Yes.
Okay, so Elliot's dad is a believer. And when we were in Bible study with Lee one day, Elliot, Brandon, and I, and the other kids, Elliot's dad had put $100 bill in Elliot's Bible so that when he would flip through the pages, when he found that $100 bill, he wanted it to be like positive reinforcement to reach a Bible. And he found that $100 bill one day when we were at Bible study.
Wow.
I know.
Positive reinforcement.
Oh, that's great.
Did you miss that?
Yeah.
Did not get that, did you?
Well, your parents really didn't care whether you knew anything about the Bible.
That's probably not true. So last week we talked about peace in the season of Advent. And as we go through Advent, we will continue to look at these prophecies concerning Jesus from Isaiah. And today we will continue with that, with something that will be very familiar, language that will be familiar. But as we continue to look at these prophecies concerning Jesus, part of my encouragement for us is to take these things out of just the context of them being about Jesus alone, and to understand that you and I, when Christ left after his crucifixion and commissioned the church, he commissioned us to continue to be the body of Christ. Different, but fulfilling the ongoing mission of Jesus. Filled with the Spirit, but given a responsibility to continue to act like Jesus. And to be that person, as a group, to be that person of Christ. Have you ever been out in the yard, and if you know what I'm talking about, you get a volunteer tree that's growing up. You know what I'm talking about? Those, and I have no clue what kinds of trees, but it doesn't matter. Oaks, elms, maples, poplars. It's just, you get volunteer trees that grow up. And eventually, what happens is that volunteer tree gets big enough, and I think, it's not growing. You know, it's never good to have a tree growing in the middle of your fence. So you cut it. At the base, you cut it down. And by next year, what happens? There's these little shoots growing up right next to it. And you're thinking, I thought just cutting it off would have killed it. But it doesn't. You still have the living roots. And this is the vision Isaiah has. That regardless of what has happened to the nation of Israel, regardless of how Israel has been cut off, there is a living root under that. And under that stump, growth is occurring. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of my knowledge and the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root will stand as a banner, for the people of the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. A shoot will come up from the ground, the shoot that is called Jesse. The first thing that we note about this shoot, it is, in fact, we realize pretty quickly that Isaiah's not talking about a tree, but instead he's talking about the nation of Israel that has been cut off. In the chapter immediately preceding, Isaiah talks about how Syria came across the forest of God's people and with an axe has laid them low. But then God has come and he has done the same thing to the nations who have abused his people. He has cut them off at the root. In fact, the verses just before this simply say, "See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power, and the lofty trees will be falled. The tall ones will be brought low, and he will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one." When God drops a forest, the forest is dropped for good. There is no reforestation. The land is laid waste. When people drop a forest that is God's people, because the roots, God always brings new life. This is the hope of our own salvation, that we each have been laid low. God's chopped us off at the trunk. Sin has caused us to be laid low. But God never leaves us without hope. There is always the opportunity for rebirth. There is always the opportunity that we too, like Jesse's stump, will live again and bear fruit. This one who will come up from the root of Jesse will first of all be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit of God. And listen to what will happen. This one the Spirit will rest on, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. To know and understand God and to be filled with God's Spirit. This prophecy was so clearly fulfilled in the person of Jesus, who lived his life led and full of the Holy Spirit. But in turn, it was Christ who reminded us that we too will shoot up from the root of Jesse. If you love me, he said in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask of the Father, and he will give you an advocate, one who will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth who came into the world, whom the world could not receive because it neither sees nor knows him, God. You know him because he abides in you and he will be with you. When we receive the Spirit, it is the moment of our rebirth, and we, like the shoot of Jesse, begin to be full of the wisdom of God. As we go into the Christmas season, the reminder for us is that we can be reborn, that the shoot will grow from us when we have the Spirit of God in us. There's nothing that will stop that. No matter how many times I cut the next shoot off, if the roots are still alive, a new shoot will spring up next to it again. Over and over. Stubborn, tenacious, annoying. The work of God's Spirit is all of those. Stubborn in our lives. Never wanting that we would be lost. Persistent in our lives, constantly a reminder for each of us that we belong to God. And annoying. Oh, God's Holy Spirit is annoying. Time after time, how I hear that voice of the Spirit in my life, do this, don't do that. What a joy it is to be a shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse. He doesn't judge by what he sees, Isaiah continues. He doesn't decide by what his ear hears. Instead, it is with righteousness that he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. I was watching a news story the other day, and it was all about deep fakes. Are you familiar with the phrase deep fakes?
No.
It's these videos that are created by computers where they take the face of President Trump and they can make him say anything. Or they take the face of anybody else and make it say, and for me to look at it, it was shocking that I couldn't see that it was a fake. The only reason I knew it was a fake was because somebody told me it was a fake. We live in a day and in a world in which truth has been assaulted to such levels that it's hard to discern with our eyes and with our ears what is true. But I'll remind you of what the role of the Holy Spirit is. Regardless of what you see with your eyes and hear with your ears, the Holy Spirit is here to remind us and to speak into us what is actually true. It would be easy for us to live in fear in a world that is so filled with lies that we can't tell the difference between truth and lie. The difference is, when I've come to Christ, this one thing I know, that my Heavenly Father has more concern for my well-being than all the deep fakes that can be amassed in this world. There is no deep fake in the faith. There is no deep fake when it comes to the Holy Spirit. The work of the Lord is to give us discernment. We live in a day in which truth has been assaulted. Even more, it is imperative that we become people of the Word and that we become people of prayer. People who have learned to listen and tune our hearts to listen to God. In the midst of deception, the Holy Spirit gives clarity. In the midst of lies, the Holy Spirit is true. And I remind you of what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because it is the Spirit who intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's will. God's Spirit is already interceding on our behalf. In the midst of what we would feel is a world filled with deception, God's Spirit already knows the world that we live in. And before we even know what to pray, the Spirit is praying for us on our behalf. This is why Paul talks about that there are times that we don't even know the words. We don't even have the words. I always say, I don't even know what to ask. I don't even know the questions to ask. And God's Spirit within us will begin to pray through us in such a way that we may not even fully understand, but God does. This is the deep truth that overcomes the deep fake. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid. The other thing to remind us is that Christ ushers in the new creation. This whole thing, we always tease Christina about eating only vegetables. I think that's funny. We love having fun with that. But there will come a day, there will come a day when the lion and the lamb lie down together. In the garden, the beauty of what was presented in the garden was perfect. Harmony in creation. Man and woman, lion and lamb, all dwelt together in one place. And at the fall, that fell apart. But here, Isaiah's prophecy reminds us that there is coming a day when all of that will be wiped away, when peace is restored in all of creation. Imagine putting your child next to the viper's den. Imagine that that child would never be harmed. The most vivid imagery that Isaiah could present brings no fear for those who live for the new creation. Think about that. Which one of us would go into the cage of the lion willingly? Which one of us would see a snake's pit and stick our hand in there willingly? Every fiber of our being would fight for us to stay away from that, to survive. We would run the other direction. And yet here the promise of the new creation is this, that we need not fear anything. Now that doesn't mean we go out and start handling snakes.
Wayne.
No handling snakes, Wayne. We're not going to do that.
Not in church.
I don't think anywhere. We aren't there yet, are we? The new creation has not been completely consummated. but it has begun. The beginning of the end arrived at Christmas. The beginning of the end has started. And for those of us who receive Christmas, we also are a part of the beginning of the end. We are a part of that root, that shoot, that fruit that has come to renew the world. It started in Christ. It continues in us. On that day, that root of Jesse will stand as a signal to all peoples, as we are called to stand to a signal to all nations. Therefore, Jesus reminds us, as he is preparing to leave, and as we are being commissioned to grow, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May we go from here and realize that we are a part of that tenacious, obnoxious root that is sent into this world to declare Christ is not dead. He is alive. Merry Christmas as we move towards the day that we celebrate Christ's birth. We are proof, living proof, that his birth meant something to all of us.